Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Amen. You know, God's Word is powerful. And there's something about the Word of God that will help us and speak to us. And I pray this morning that the Word of God will speak to us and help us to see His will for our lives. Mark chapter 8, starting with verse 1. Somebody said amen when you get there. Amen. All right. Mark chapter 8, verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers, or different ones of them, came from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? Praise God. How can we satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? They didn't understand the will of God. They didn't know the plan of God or what God was trying to do. And they put it all together. They put the circumstances of the situation all together. And when it was said and done, in their heart and in their mind, they said, it can't happen. It can't happen. But God has a plan. Praise the Lord. God has a plan. Everybody said, God has a plan. God has a plan. I want to preach about that this morning. Let's pray together and let's ask for the help of the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth today. We're asking you to anoint the Word of God, speak to our hearts this morning. We give you honor. We give you praise. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Let's get right into the Word of the Lord. Let's see what God will do here today. Praise the Lord. You know, oftentimes when we are going through life, not just going through life and serving the Lord, you're going to find yourself in a place where you feel like you're in the wilderness. And it seems like the way He leads us at times leads us to the place of the wilderness. Many in Scripture have alluded to this and spoken of this, wrote of this. Psalm 23 and verse 4, the famous 23rd Psalm, he said, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And David understood that there were times in his life when he would be walking in the wilderness. And when he was in a place where he didn't know where he was going to end up, at a place where he didn't understand the will of God and didn't know the will of God. And I feel like this morning that I can minister to someone here today. Maybe you're in the wilderness in your life and you don't know what direction you're going. I want you to know that there is bread in the wilderness. Amen. Because God has a plan. God has a plan. And David understood that. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Amen. And you can read on from there. And you'll find that when he went into the wilderness, there was the temptation of the devil. Amen. He was tempted of the devil in the wilderness. And so we sometimes ask the question, well, why does God lead us into wilderness areas? Why does God take us to places where it doesn't seem like God is anywhere around? Why does he take us to places where it seems like there's no bread, so to speak, no spiritual bread, no joy, no future. There's nothing ahead, and we're stuck out here in this wilderness. But if you'll notice here, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, and the Bible talks about you and I being filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And sometimes we think, well, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Why am I in this wilderness? The Bible can show us here that when we go into the wilderness, that there are times that we are led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Well, praise the Lord that we are led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. And when we get into that wilderness, there are temptations. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He was not just full of the Holy Ghost. He had the fullness of the Godhead bodily, according to Scripture. And he was filled with the fullness of God, and was led up into the wilderness, and he was tempted by the devil. Amen. I pray that we can understand this morning, because if you serve God, you're going to find yourself in the wilderness at some point. Amen. If you're serving God, if you're living life, if you're going to go through life itself and be successful, you've got to understand that there will be the wilderness experience that comes in your life. When Jesus was tempted of the devil, he was tempted by the three things that are in the world. John spoke of them, and he said, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they are not of the Father, but they are of the world. The devil tempted Adam and Eve with those three, and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The devil tempted Jesus with those three as well. He was hungry, and he was tempted with bread. He was shown all the kingdoms of the world, and he appealed to pride. And he said in another place, if you are who you say you are, cast yourself down, for the angels will give charge concerning thee. And he tempted him with pride. He tempted him by showing him all the kingdoms of the world, the lust of the eyes. And yet he came out victorious. And if we do a little bit of reading into this, we'll find that he started his ministry of healing and miracles and all of that. Amen. We've got to have our life in balance. There are many, many great people that we could talk about in Scripture. One of them I love to talk about is Joseph. And Joseph was in a wilderness for a long time. He was stuck in a jail for things that he didn't do. For years he was there, and out there in the wilderness, his family had turned their back on him, and he didn't know what to do, didn't know what direction to go, and all of that. But I'm telling you, God had a plan. God didn't tell him the plan specifically, but God had a plan. And I want to just tell somebody this morning that God has a plan for your life. Well, praise God. And God does not obligate himself to show us his plan. God does not say in his word that we're going to understand it fully and completely. In fact, Scripture says that we see through a glass darkly. But then, when we get to heaven, then we're going to see face to face, and we are going to know even as we are known. Amen. I think when we get to heaven, it's going to be a totally, completely different situation. And we're going to look back and see what we went through and say, why was I so worried? Amen. Why was I so worried when this was the plan all along? Amen. Scripture says that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. That's one of the most awesome scriptures I think we can find in the Word of God, that a good man, his steps are ordered of God. We don't know the steps that we take sometimes, but God knows the steps that we take. Praise God. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1, it tells us here, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Why would he be preaching in the wilderness? There's not anybody in the wilderness. There's very few people in the wilderness. When we went to Israel in the 80s, one of the men that was in our group broke away from our group and went down to Beersheba out in the wilderness, and he said they had markets down there where they were buying and selling goats and sheep and different things like that. But when you get out in the wilderness, there's nothing out there. And so God said to John the Baptist, go out there and preach in the wilderness. And it was in that place of wilderness that John got his experience of preaching and baptizing and ministering. And then we find later he comes into the city and he ministers in the city as well. The Bible says he baptized all of Judea and they of Jerusalem. Amen. He was a very powerful minister and had an anointing upon him from God. Amen. But he started out in the wilderness. He started preaching in the wilderness. It's not, seemingly the thing that we would say, well, this is the will of God. I remember hearing one of the old-time Pentecostal ministers, and he said he was in prayer, and the Lord spoke to him and said, go out in the woods and preach. And he thought, well, now that's really strange. There's nobody out in the woods, just the deer and some of the animals. And so he went out into the woods, and he got him a message, and he preached the message. There was nobody there. And the next day he was in prayer, and the Lord told him, said, go out in the woods and preach. And so he went out into the woods again the next day, and he preached a message the next day out in the woods. And the third day, there was the same call from God to him, go out into the woods and preach. And so the third day he went out into the woods and he preached. Little did he know that there was someone in the area that had seen him the first day go out into the woods and preach. And so he got curious and he went out, and little did the preacher know, he was actually preaching to someone who was hiding in the woods and listening to every word that he said. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost, and a revival broke out. Well, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, God has a plan today. God knows what he's doing, and we don't have to know what God is doing, but we can know that God is leading his people, and sometimes it's through the wilderness. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 18, let's look at it here this morning. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 18, but God led the people. Everybody said, God led the people. God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. Now, this is very important, because when God brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage and brought them through the Red Sea, the Bible, or rather the maps, show us where they went. God took them through the Red Sea. He didn't have to take them through the Red Sea. There was another way that they could have went. There was another journey that they could have taken, and they could have gotten to their destination a whole lot faster. God knows what he's doing. God has a plan. God has a plan. God has a plan for your life. And this way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, eventually, because of their attitude and because of their rebellion against the plan of God, it ended up being 40 years before they got into the land of promise. But God knew what he was doing, and he led them through the wilderness. In fact, the scripture tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, and I'll give you an opportunity to go there and to look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2, He said, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. Amen. God leads us. God is leading us. And if you will allow God to lead your life, you're going to make it to the promised land. You're going to make it to the land of milk and honey. And God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Everybody said, in the wilderness. Come on, everybody, in the wilderness. And if you're in the wilderness here this morning, don't despair of that. And if it seems like you've been in the wilderness for a long time, don't despair of that, because God has a plan. And our senses and our logic and all of that, we look at the things that are seen, and when we look at it, we say, surely God can't do anything here. Surely there's no way that God is in this. And so after a while, we have to take things into our own hands. The worst thing that we could ever do is take things into our own hands. Well, praise the Lord. Why? Because God has a plan. God has a plan. And if we can understand this, let's look at it here. He led them 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. Everybody said, to humble thee. And to prove thee. Everybody said, to prove thee. And to know what was in thine heart. Amen. God had a plan. God wanted to know. He wanted to humble them. And we'll look at that here in just a moment. He wanted to prove them. And to try, that word prove there means to try, to know what was in their heart. Now, I believe that God already knew what was in their heart. I believe that God knew they were a stiff-necked and a hard-hearted people. Scripture says he already had said that to Moses, and he understood that. But I'm thinking here that not only did God want to know what was in their heart, but God wanted them to know what was in their heart. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we can't really understand what is in our heart when everything is going good. Sometimes it is the fiery trials that bring the impurities to the surface. Amen. And helps us to understand what's really down deep inside. The Word of God gets down to the joints and the marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Thank God for the Word of God. But more than that, thank God for the leading of God. Well, praise the Lord. Maybe there's several here this morning that's in the wilderness, and you're not excited about it. Well, I'll tell you, there's nothing exciting about being humbled. And nothing exciting about going through tests and trials. Amen. But at the very end, if we can understand God's working in that respect, amen, we'll find that God has our very best interest in his heart. And God wants to bless us, and God wants to help us. And he said, to see what was in your heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. That's the very scripture that Jesus quoted to Satan. Amen. And very powerful scripture here. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. In other words, God let all of the food dry up. It was gone. He let all of the water disappear. There was no water to drink. And then he just sat and listened. He looked to see what was going to be done by the people. He listened to hear what they were going to say. And they did say some things, and he humbled them. He got them to a place. The word humble there means low. It is of the thought here that it is opposed to high or lofty. We get high and we get lofty when we are super blessed sometimes. And we get to thinking that we're better than what we really are. And God can't use us when we're in that place. But he comes to the low. Amen. And it is opposed to high and lofty. To prove them. That means to try or to, now listen to this, to ascertain some unknown quality or truth by an experiment, or by a test, or by a standard. And so it is a proving, to ascertain some unknown quality or truth by an experiment. God did an experiment with them to see what they would do. He wanted to see what kind of a quality was in them. He wanted to know what kind of material they were made of, if you please. He wanted to put them through the fire to see if they were strong enough to make it through that fire. And with God, all things are possible today. With God, all things are possible. Well, praise the Lord. God can do anything today. And it is to know what was in their heart. Amen. To show us that every word of God is more important than physical bread. And we don't live by bread only. We do live by bread. There is a physical food that we have to have. But folks, there is a spiritual food that God wants to feed us. And oftentimes when we have so much, we say to thy soul, eat, drink, and be merry. You've got enough for many, many years. Don't worry about it. Just live your life and do whatever you want to do. Well, I want you to know this morning, God wants to humble us and God wants to prove us. Praise the Lord. God has a plan. God has a plan today. Praise God. And God wants us to know with every fiber of our being, amen, that nothing is too hard for him. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Nothing is too hard for our God. Nothing is too hard for him. Amen. And if we will stay with him, we will be victorious. And if we don't stay with him, then the wilderness will consume us. That's right. Because there's no way in the wilderness that some 2 to 4 million people could have enough water to drink. I don't know how much water that is, but that's a lot of water. That's a river that is necessary. And they ran out of water, and so they all started talking. And they said, what are we going to do? You brought us out here to kill us in the wilderness. And I'm going to look at that here in just a moment. But God had a plan, and God had a plan in the wilderness where there was no water. God had a plan in the wilderness where there was no food. And I don't know I don't know how much bread it takes to feed 2 to 4 million people. But I do know that in the Wichita area, we probably have 500,000. So if you multiply that by 4 to 8 times, the city of Boston is a metropolitan of 4 million. We lived in that area, and there are bread trucks running every day, and many, many, many trucks running every day because it is a staple, and people buy it on a regular basis. I just can't imagine you know, what the people felt like when the last loaf of bread was gone. And here they are, miles and miles and miles away from what they are used to, the life that they're used to. And there's no plan, there's no book that's given to them, there's no schedule, so to speak. Here's now we're going to go to phase 2, and this is what's going to happen. It just ran out. There was no voice from heaven. There was no sure direction, and God just listened. Amen. God just listened to see what they were going to say. Praise God. And at some point in life, you're going to face a wilderness. And if you do, during that time, what we say and what we do in our life is going to speak volumes to God about our faith and our trust in Him. Do you believe God this morning? Do you have faith and trust in God this morning? Amen. I trust God today. And I don't have to see because He is the one that sees. I don't have to perform because He's the one that does that. Amen. I don't have to come up with my own solution. All I need is Jesus in my life. Praise God. And there's nothing too hard for God. Genesis 18 and verse 14, is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. You know, friend, it may seem impossible what you're facing this morning. It may seem impossible what you're looking at here this morning, but I'm here to tell somebody or several somebodies this morning, amen, God has a plan. God has a plan, amen. And the great thing about living for the Lord is that we don't have to fight our battles. Amen. God will fight our battles for us. There's some that we have to fight. But you know what? When we fight those battles, it's because God gives us permission to fight those battles. When Israel went to battle without God's permission, they did not prosper. But when they went to battle with God's permission, they prospered. Amen. And they were able to do it themselves with the help of God. And then there were times that God said, "You're not going to fight in this battle. I'm going to do it for you." And so we have to pray and discern. Somebody said amen. Amen. We have to pray and discern the will of God in our lives. And too often we try to figure things out by ourselves when really what we need to do is seek after God and get His direction. All right, let's look at it a little further. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 1. Let's look at it this morning. Just turn with me this morning. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 1. And here they are. Here is the actual account of their one of the journeys here in the wilderness. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And so what we can see here is it was 6 weeks. 6 weeks after they got out of Egypt, 6 weeks after their deliverance, things started to happen here. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said, amen, they said some things unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Amen. Here they were, 6 weeks. Only 6 weeks later, or in the past, they saw the waters part and they came through on dry ground. Six weeks had passed, and it was still fresh in their mind of the plagues of the frogs and the flies and the lice and the darkness that covered the land, and the hail that fell that was mingled with fire. And it was only 6 weeks that they remember putting the blood upon the doorpost of their house, and at midnight the death angel passed over, and they were saved by the blood of the Lamb. Well, praise God. Only 6 weeks had transpired. It was a very short period of time, but I'm telling you, when you're in the wilderness, things change real quickly. When you're in the wilderness and all of a sudden, you can complain about being in Egypt, but you've got leeks and garlics and onions and you've got melons to eat, and You've got at least a structure in your life. Amen. You've at least got some security. You know what to expect. You may not like what it is, but you know what to expect. A lot of folks like that today. A lot of people like that today. And they are just looking for that little bit of security. If they can just hold on to that little bit. Amen. Just hang on to that little handful of seed. And, well, this is all I've got. And if I get rid of this, I'm going to starve to death. And so I've got to hang on to this little bit that I have instead of saying, I'm going to just sow it. Amen. I'm going to give it away. I'm going to bless it. Amen. Realize that there's a great harvest that's coming. And Israel got to that place. They got to the place where really they didn't have anyone to tell them what to do. They had left Mount Sinai. They got the law. But yet really it fully hadn't sunk into them yet. They were used to, they had a slave mentality. They were used to being told what to do every day. They were used to being told what to think and what not to think and what to do and what not to do. And now all of a sudden, here they are in the wilderness, and that security blanket, if you please, that security thing that was in their life is all of a sudden gone. What am I going to do? How are we going to survive? And so they look around, and they're miles and miles and miles from Egypt. And but maybe really not that far. Maybe some of them could make it back without starving to death. Maybe some of them could make it back and survive and go back to their old life. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, God has a plan. And it may seem crazy, and it may seem out of the norm, but God has a plan for your life. Amen. And they said, oh, they got to the place where they were so discouraged that they said, we would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. We would rather die in Egypt than to come out here and follow this man, Moses. And actually, they murmured against Moses. The focus of their complaining was the man of God, Moses. And God already had a plan figured out, and it was enough bread for them to eat for 40 years. And it tasted like honey. Oh, it was so good. And the Lord spoke to Moses. Moses didn't even know about the plan. You talk about a man of faith leading all those people out into the wilderness without a plan. Amen. Led them to the Red Sea without a plan. But God had a plan, and God has a plan today. God has a plan for your life, and He wants to work that plan out. He's just looking for somebody that has faith, somebody that will say, I believe God. I believe that God has a purpose in this. Amen. Doesn't the Scripture say that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose? It does say that. Does anybody believe that this morning? I believe it this morning. Amen. God had provision for them. He had train loads of bread every single day, and He just let it cover the ground. And all they had to do was go out of their tent and pick up enough bread for that day. And then in the afternoon when it got hot, it disappeared. It melted and disappeared. And then the next morning, God dumped it all on them again. And the same thing, day after day after day, for 40 solid years, God provided for them. And you know what, though? God has a way of humbling us. God has a way of showing us what is really the most important thing in our lives. Amen. Because it wasn't very long afterwards that they said, you know what, we're tired of this bread. We want some meat. We're tired of this bread. Oh, you talk about a rebellious people. You talk about a people that you couldn't make happy no matter what you did. He gave them the best of the food. In fact, the scripture says it was angels' food. Amen. It was angels' bread. It was heaven's bakery every day, baking them bread. And after a while, they said, oh, well, we just don't have any motivation anymore to live for God. We're not motivated to come and to seek after the face of God. We're not wanting to be believers anymore. We just want to go back to Egypt. We'd like a little bit of variety. We want some meat. And so you know what God did? God sent quail, and it was a cubit and a half deep on the earth, and it was some 50 miles in diameter. Amen. You're talking about over 2 feet of quail thick on the ground, and they were so lustful, and they were so intent on eating this that they ripped the meat out of the quail and ate it raw. And there were thousands of them that perished in that lustful situation. Amen. But God showed them, if you want meat, I can give you all the meat you want to have. If you need bread, I'll give you all the bread that you need. Praise God. He's just looking for somebody that'll believe God. Amen. Somebody that'll believe God and trust God. And he led them into the wilderness. We read the scripture this morning when we started in Mark chapter 8, where Jesus was ministering to the multitudes. He could have ministered to them in the city. He could have ministered to them on the outskirts of Jerusalem, just on the outside of the wall. And that way, when he's done, they could all go home. He could have made it convenient for them. Well, praise the Lord. Could have made it convenient for them. And oftentimes we say, well, we want the most convenient thing. We're looking for convenience. Everything in our generation speaks of convenience. Everything is made so that you don't have to work too hard, that you don't have to worry about too much. It's just so convenient. We just swipe a card. We just put in a number. And everything is centered around making it so very convenient and so very easy. Amen. You can pay your bills online. You can have it set up where your bills are automatically paid and where your paycheck is automatically deposited. You don't have to think about anything but having fun if you can afford it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because fun is expensive. Convenience. So when Jesus got ready to teach the multitudes, why did he do it in the wilderness? Where it was so far away that when he was done teaching, and he taught for a while because they got hungry. It was probably a day or two or three that they were together and he was ministering to them. Why did he do it in the wilderness? Why didn't he say, well, let's just go back to the city, where there's a Walmart back there in the city, and that way everybody can get something to eat when you get hungry. You know, there's a few restaurants inside the city, and everybody can get something to eat, and we'll just make it nice and convenient. Amen. I remember I was youth president of the district in Massachusetts, actually four different states, and I was doing the camp meeting, and we had an old camp meeting, and I forget what they called that facility there, but it was called a grove, and it was actually made out in the woods back in the day, way back in the day, and they would cut the trees down at a certain height and then put boards on top of the trees. And those would be the pews, and they would set it up there, and the preacher would preach, and it was called a grove. And I forget the name of the campground, but when we got there, you know, here I am, I'm the leader. And we get there, and they say, we don't have a cabin for you. And so finally they said, well, Somebody in the town said, there's a house over here that's vacant. You can sleep in that this week. And we said, well, it's better than sleeping in the car. And so they gave it to us, and we realized that in every one of the corners, it was like a horror place. There were cobwebs everywhere. And that night, I dreamed of spiders coming down on my bed. And the water, there was no water. It wasn't even running. And finally, they found us a better place. But I'll tell you what, sometimes life is like that. It just circumstances come about, and here you are. And now what am I going to do? And what direction are we going to go? And I'll tell you, I started praying. And they found another house in the little town there where the folks had gone away for a while on vacation. And they said they really like to have somebody stay in their house. And so we moved from the spider house to a fully furnished house. Praise God. I'm thankful for the direction of the Lord. Amen. And I wouldn't wish that on anybody, but sometimes you're going to end up in the wilderness. Why does God do that? Why did the Lord lead them out into the wilderness to teach them? I'll tell you why. Because there's some things we can't learn in the city. We can only learn it in the wilderness. There's only some times and some things that have to be learned and have to be taught in a wilderness setting. Praise God. Amen. And so they were out there, and it was time for them to get something to eat. They had been fasting, and it was 3 days. They had now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. 3 days. Now, that's when things start getting a little bit serious. You know, we can maybe make it a day. Well, I'm fasting my candy bars for a week, and we make it 5 days. I'm fasting, I'm used to drinking 20 cups of coffee a day. I'm fasting one cup a day. That's where we're at in America. But 3 days, and nights, and nothing. They had nothing to eat. Jesus took them out there into that situation. And he brought them into that situation. And he said, they have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their houses, why, they're going to faint by the way. And many of them had come from far. So they were far, far away from home. And the disciples looked around and they threw their hands up. And they said, how can we get bread out here in the wilderness? How can we do it? Not realizing that was exactly the same thing that the children of Israel did in the wilderness. If they would have remembered, amen, that God was able to do this, amen, they would have had a different attitude about it. And I hope this morning that when we're finished here today, you'll leave with a different perspective of God in your life and what God can do and what God wants to do. Amen. Don't jump so quickly. Just wait on God. God is able to provide anything that we need. Amen. He really is. And so he said, well, what do we have available? Well, we've got a few fish and a couple of loaves of bread. But what are these among the multitude? He said, bring it here. And he blessed it and he broke it. And he broke the bread into 12 pieces. And gave to the disciples and said, here, break it up into little smaller pieces and start handing it out. And they started handing it out. And when they thought it was empty, there was more in there. And they kept handing it out. And as they handed it out, it just began to multiply and multiply and multiply. Because when you're in the will of God, He's not going to let you starve. Amen. David said, I was once young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Never seen it. You know why? Because God loves his children. Amen. He just wants to teach us in the wilderness. There are times, and it's not always, But there are times that he leads us to the wilderness, amen, so that he can teach us. It wasn't just teaching for 3 days, but he, you know, we have to see the miracle hand of God after the teaching is over with. Praise God. It's not enough just to come to church and hear teaching. But we've got to put it to practice. And when we put it to practice, then the miracle takes place. Well, praise the Lord. The miracle happens when we apply it to our life and we live it and we're right there. Amen. We're out there in the wilderness and we're saying, I believe God. I believe God. Amen. I believe the Lord. And so when we look at this, he led them in the wilderness and he knew they were going to be hungry. He knew that they were going to be without. Amen. And sometimes the only thing that gives us spiritual ears is when we get hungry. Amen. The only thing that really sometimes puts us on the edge where we're very sensitive. Amen. Where we're very sensitive. Remember when I was a kid, I could smell real good. I can't smell anymore. My smeller's gone on me. And that's good. It's good sometimes. But I remember driving down K-15 on the way to Mulvane where I lived, and we'd go by the bread factory right there. Somewhere down by 47th Street or somewhere down. There was a bread factory, and there was a potato chip factory on the other side because we went through that factory when we was in grade school. And, oh, my, I'm telling you what, you go by there and smell that fresh baked bread. Whew. It made me want to get home and just pull out a loaf of bread and just eat the whole thing. Yeah. Praise God. Because when you're hungry, your senses are acute. But when we're so full and we feel like we have need of nothing and we've got it all. Oh, I can make it to church. If I don't, it's okay. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, be careful. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you do with your life, because God may just say, you know what? This one needs to go through the wilderness for a little while to understand what it's really like and to understand, amen, that they really need God. Did you know we really need God today? I need God today. And so I just feel to minister along this line here this morning, and I guess we're just kind of teaching and kind of talking here today. Amen. But how do we walk by faith? How do we walk by faith? The Bible says to walk by faith. We walk by faith by giving. Amen. And we're blessing the work of God overseas. We're blessing the ministry. We're blessing the church. Amen. Giving of our tithes and our offering. Amen. Faithfulness to the house of God. Did you know that is really walking by faith? That's really walking by faith. Faithfulness to the house of God. Amen. By speaking the word of faith in your trials and your troubles. That's really when the rubber meets the road, so to speak. Amen. When things are not going well, what do we say? Amen. What do we say? I'm telling you, what we need to get used to saying is words of faith. God has a plan. Somebody say it with me this morning. God has a plan. God has a plan. God's got a plan for my life. God's got a plan for your life. Praise the Lord. He's got a plan for us. Amen. By trusting God in your heart, by spending time with the Lord in prayer. Amen. Because when we do, heaven's going to open up and God's going to provide the needs in a miraculous way. I love him this morning. I'm so thankful that he's in my life. Praise God. I don't know what I would do without him, but with him I can do all things. Praise God. God provided food for the prophet with the ravens. God gave Israel manna in the wilderness. Jesus provided the bread and the meat just out of two loaves and a few fishes. Amen. He provided the widow woman who obeyed the man of God and gave him first. Praise God. And I'm here to tell somebody, God will provide for you as well. God will provide for you if you'll put your trust in him. Can we stand together this morning? Can we stand together? Praise God. Isn't God good? God's good. God's so good to us. Thankful for his blessings today. You say, well, Pastor, I'm going through a wilderness right now. I just really don't know what to do. I just don't see any opening. I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. Amen. And if it is light at the end of the tunnel, it might be the light of an oncoming train. We can begin to think about things like that and say, woe is me. I'm going down. I'm not going to make it. Fear grips your heart. Panic grips your heart. We've all been there. We've all been there. But I'm telling you this morning that God has a plan in the wilderness. God has a plan in the wilderness. Father, I thank you this morning. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God today. Lord, I thank you, God, for the power of the Holy Ghost that you've given to us and the power of the Word of God. Help us, Lord. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to see the eternal and not the temporary. In Jesus' name this morning, I pray for each and every one that's here today, God, that you will lift us up into faith, that you will lift us up, Lord, and to believe you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. For you're great and awesome, God, and you're able to do anything. You're able to do anything. Praise God.